I'm talking with Georgine Nelson, director of the language department here at the Klamath Tribes on today's podcast. There's a lot going on at the language department, and you're going to hear all about it right now. Georgine, welcome.
Good morning, Ken.
So, Georgine, let's start off with you had a little language class at OIT, Oregon Institute of Technology. How did that go?
It went really well. It was in conjunction with Native American Heritage Month, and it was a three-part series. And we did a class on counting systems of the Klamath tribes, and we also did another one that was on the seasonal activities of the Klamath tribes, and then the family systems of the Klamath tribes.
And this was a month-long curriculum you had done.
Yes. We started on November 14th, and then we held another class on the 21st, and then we ended it on the last Tuesday.
How was the turnout?
This was for the group. It's a small organization, and we had like five people, I think, the first time, but by the end of the month, we got up to about eight people.
So what did you actually cover in detail? What did they gain from this? You know, it's an introduction, right? You can't delve too far into it.
Right. So what we did is we talked about our languages. We talked about how important they are to our tribal people. And I also shared with them that language is your identifier. And I compared it to, like, if you live in Japan, what language do they speak? Japanese. Or if you live in Germany, what language do they speak? German. So I told them here in this part of the world, there were our tribes, and we had our own languages. We had the Klamath, the Modoc, and the Northern Paiute. That's are known by now. But I let them know that also our people referred ourselves simply as Mucklucks. And so the Klamath and Modoc call themselves Mucklucks, and the Paiute call themselves Numa, people. That's what those two words mean.
Where does Mucklucks come from? Like, what does it mean?
People.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So that's the word that the Modoc and the Klamath people describe themselves as, Mucklucks.
Very good. Well, it's the first of many, I'm sure, outreaches that you'll be doing beyond the Klamath tribal members themselves as you try to educate the public about the languages of the tribes.
Yes, we had a busy November. We had schools reach out to us. Early on in the month, I had gone to Chiloquin High School, and me and our Paiute instructor, Steve Weiser, we went and talked to three classes. They were about almost an hour long in length, and we taught each class how to introduce themselves in a standard greeting. In Mucklucks, y'alls is what we call it for the Klamath and Modoc and Numa. So everybody got a chance to say a standard greeting and then give a reply.
What was the age group?
The age group was, I think, about 11th and 12th grade.
Does this inspire them to pursue it further?
I think that they were very interested in it. The students, some of them already know how to do the standard tribal greeting. And so the ones who didn't, they were very excited to get that information.
So this was a combination of non-tribal and non-tribal students?
Yes.
So the language department itself is growing. Are you in your second year now?
We're going into our third year.
Third year. So where are we at in development?
Well, we've had some exciting development this year. We've gotten one new grant. It's going to allow for us to get three new people, trainees, to help us with speaking language and teaching language. And then we are getting another grant going to where we are going to be bringing on some staff to be able to create a documentary for how tribal people here, if how they may have been affected by boarding school.
May have been affected in learning the language.
Right.
Well, it isn't a may have been affected. They were affected. I mean, they were punished for using their language in boarding schools.
Yes, and there are a lot of stories out there that we want to capture just so that people can have a full understanding of why it is that we don't fully speak our languages now.
It was really a purging in those boarding schools.
Yes, I've had my grandmothers in our family talk about their experiences. I've had other elders share their experiences with me. When I was in college, I created a language class for a technical writing course. And I was able to go into people's homes and teach the basic sounds of the language and some vocabulary. And it was done for research for technical paper. And that's kind of what got me started into wanting to go further into teaching language. But when I did this, people were telling me how they would come back from boarding school and their grandparents wouldn't want to talk to them because they knew that they'd get in trouble.
In their own language.
Right. So English started becoming the normal. And as grandparents grew up, one of my grandmothers told me not to focus on our tribal language. It was gone. And just to learn what they wanted us to learn.
And that's where the gap started.
Yes.
You could almost, your own personal experience is like, it's your generation.
Yep. And I had an aunt, like she would say a word and I'd go, "What'd you say?" And she goes, "Nope, I'm not repeating it. If you didn't get it the first time, you're not going to hear it again."
Jeez.
And so they were afraid to share.
Such intimidation.
Well.
Right in the household.
It was right in the household. And, you know, so I there's other people who share those same type of things. I'm fortunate I had kind of maybe rebel parents because even though my dad got sent to a boarding school, he would still share language with me and my siblings. So like when we would be out fishing or hunting or doing gathering, Dad would tell us the names of the animals or the fish or the birds or the plants in our own language, the Klamath language. And my mother, she was raised in Portland, Oregon. She was raised in public schools in Portland, Oregon, and away from the reservation area down here. And she said that her mom, when they lived up there, wouldn't speak so much. But both my great-grandmother and my grandmother were fluent. And my great-grandmother was full-blooded Paiute, and she could speak Paiute, Modoc, and Chinook trade language. So we've had full speakers in our home. I remember what this sounds like. And so we just, for example, we just had our beginner class end last week. And we have 10 people who were able to take the test. And they focused on introduction, being able to introduce themselves to another person or introduce themselves to a group and also introduce a couple of their family members. And so that's really been exciting. We've had people giving us feedback on what else they want to learn. So our upcoming classes will be starting in January for the intermediate class. And then we'll, that'll be 8 weeks, and then we'll have another 8 weeks. We'll end up in about, the advanced class will end in about probably mid-April. But we're really excited. We've had a lot of really good interest. The people who signed up 2 years ago, some of them are still going through the classes. They're able to help others. And we have tribal members who are getting acquainted with one another because we do these through the Zoom app. And so people live in other areas, and they're able to now come together and practice with one another. We have families practicing with each other. So it's becoming a family effort. So we have lots of really good, exciting things happening in language, and how well our tribal people are taking the initiative to stay with these classes. I was talking to Dr. Dupree and sharing with him our activity in the training, and I shared with him that when I go to conferences and I talk to other tribal teachers, one of their main issues is getting people interested in taking the classes or learning the language. And to date, we are, with this group, we'll have about 45 people who have gone through the beginning class or completed the entire course. And that's a quite bit more than some other tribes are working with right now. So that's good. They're wondering how we're able to get people to participate. But I think the Zoom app has really been helpful for us, in our tribe anyway.
How about the children? Are we getting the younger learners in?
That's really exciting news there. One of our early childhood development center teachers has just completed the beginning program. And then I have plans to work with another employee of the Education and Employment Department one-on-one so that she can work with the youth who are on tribal council to be able to read the language well and say the language well.
You mean the youth council?
Yes. So that will be starting.
What about younger? Like, I'm talking kindergarten, elementary.
We Early Childhood Development Center is doing a really good job of working with the kids in the Mukluk Shawls language. My hope is to also expand that into Paiute. I just was at Bonanza and worked with the Head Start program there. And I shared a rabbit dance story, how the rabbit dance got developed. It's a Paiute story. And then taught the kids there how to do the rabbit dance steps. And then we counted in Mukluk Yals and also Paiute. We had one little Paiute child there. And to the teacher's credit, they pointed out that she was Paiute and asked if we had material in Paiute. And I said, we do. So we shared that. And those kids, they were tiny, but they were participating. And we had a good time.
Well, they're the key to sustaining the language. You know, they can learn it. They're like sponges at that age.
Yes. And when we work with our kids, like we have a cultural camp and that's run through the Culture and Heritage Department. And so we taught counting. We taught introduction. And the kids did a great job. I had a summer youth employee over the summer, and I worked with her for about a week before we had to go out there. And she watched me teach the class a couple times, and by the third time, I had her teaching the class. So she here was a young teenage student up there with her peers, teaching them how to count in all three languages.
I'm still curious about this documentary. So when do you expect to start filming? How long will it be, and where do you plan to distribute it?
Well, it's a small documentary that's going to be created for our use. So we're going to be putting it on our YouTube channel and on our language page. And it's to help document, you know, the effects of boarding school on the Klamath tribal peoples. And so that's not just for Klamath, but it's also for Modocs or Paiutes who are experiencing, you know, memories. And there's not just tribal elders, but also it could be anybody who had a family member that went to boarding school, and how they shared a story about what happened to them. And maybe there was reluctance in the family, therefore, to not learn the language. So if there were tribal members now, like, say, my age or younger, who want to share about how it affected their family, we're looking for those people, too. And we're going to be working on getting that started in January to get that up and going. We're I'm going to reach out to our elders worker to help me, you know, get people lined up and who may be interested. And I've got a couple people who reach out to me already to that wanted to share their story.
Well, if somebody's listening, is there a number for contacting you for being a participant in the documentary?
Yes. They can just call our administrative number, the 541-783-2219, and my extension is 291. And if there's people who would be interested in speaking about their experience or maybe a relative's experience, then I would love to hear from them, and I could just get their information from them and contact them and set up an appointment.
Okay, very good. You also have some new staff members coming on, and a young lady from university who just recently graduated. Do you want to introduce her to the audience?
Yeah, well, she won't be here till January. In January 6th, she'll be starting. Her name is Andrea. She's a student who's just graduated from Portland State University.
It's great to be reaching out to Portland to get these students involved in the tribes.
Yes, I'm really excited that we have her coming on board. She sounds like she's got a lot of, you know, background skills that are transferable into a job like this. But I think she'll have a good time, especially with this kind of project that we got coming up.
Because she has a film background.
Yeah, and that will be helpful. And we're always trying to, you know, get more material out to tribal members. So, like, right now we have, like, 6 or 7, I think, PowerPoint presentations. And we have made it to where our books are downloadable. So, like, if you want a language book, you could actually download it to your smartphone. You can go to our language page at our tribe's website, klamathtribes.org, and you can just download to either your laptop, desktop, smartphone, tablet, and that way you'd always have the book. And then if anybody wants to sign up for classes, they're more than welcome. This one is the intermediate. And I encourage anybody, like, whether you're a beginner or not, you could also join up with the intermediate class, because we've got a lot of tribal members who've already been doing this for a couple of years, and they're very helpful. So, like, I've had 2 people who joined in right in the middle of the beginning class, and by the end of this training period, they were doing just as good as everybody else. So we have a lot of tribal help there. So It's fun. Everybody really enjoys the classes.
Well, you said you had 40 students. Do you think you can double that in the next year or two?
Well, I'm really hoping to. I hope that more people will want to learn the language and to be able to use the language. This year, what we did for homework is we had them reach out to other family members via social media. So like if somebody was on Facebook or TikTok, then what we did was we said, you know, send me a video of you teaching your family member how to say these sentences. And they did. They did great. And so they were teaching their husbands, they were teaching brothers, sisters, cousin. There was families interacting with one another. So that was great. That was a great experience. Teaching on Zoom is way different than teaching in person. So it allows us to do a little bit more creative training there.
Would you like to have more in-person teaching?
That would be great if we could. Weather always tends to get in the way, especially wintertime. That's why Zoom is such a wonderful tool for us to use. And then, you know, people enjoy the one-on-one when you're doing in person. And we can do more fun things in person. Like this last summer, we did a series. We had one training every month. And we taught how to introduce yourself, taught how to count, and we taught colors. And then we taught sentences on what you could say, like, I see, I have, or I want sentences. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to work to where what students want to say, we're trying to build a program around.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got people who said, I want to say, I want water, or I want coffee, or how much is that? Those basic types of communication. And so we're starting to do those, and we have a lot of, you know, good success with that when we have our in-person classes.
You also need the space, classroom space.
Yeah. We did that out at the Goose Ogigawa Community Center this last summer.
The Hervey Building right adjacent to us has some wonderful space available. I was looking through the window yesterday, and it's nice, spacious. It's been cleaned out well. It'd be a great classroom.
Yeah.
Next to your office.
Yep. We're always looking for more room because, you know, right now we have to pick up and move lots of stuff to a training location, then pack up and move back.
Well, you should take a look at those spaces. You might have some opportunity there. Looks like a good classroom to me.
Yeah. I've been looking at spaces around here. I have been.
Something to be said, you know, in the evening, come to the classroom. I taught ESL in Boston. We had, classrooms. People would come in the evening to the classroom.
Right.
Makes it more attractive. You know, it's a social environment as well as a teaching environment.
Right. And, you know, we've done that in the past. And I'll be real honest with you. For whatever reasons, we don't have as good a turnout in person as we do via Zoom.
Kids might like it more. Kids like to be in a group.
Yeah, kids love being in a group.
So if you had an evening class in Chiloquin for the Chiloquin students, for example, you know, right after school, they come to the classroom.
Yeah, well, I used to do the after-school program for the tribe, and so I would have kids come to our classes. And so, you know, I know that when we have a location for them to go to, that it's great. And some of my kids now, they were in, like, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. They're now into junior high or high school, and they're still asking me, you know, when is Mucklucks going to open up again?
Yeah. All right. Very good. Anything you want to touch upon we didn't mention that's coming up that you'd like to inform the audience?
We do have our second series of classes that's going to start up. That's going to be in January. And so we're going to be, you know, putting out flyers and, you know, people can register for the classes.
And you could put that in the newspaper.
Right.
A registration.
Right.
That they can cut out, mail in or.
Yeah. And then I'm going to put a form on our web page too. So start to get more information out there. And then, you know, Klamath and MODOK class is held on Mondays from 6 to 7. And people are invited to bring their dinner if they want to and just, you know, hang out for an hour and learn about language. And then on Wednesday nights, we have the Paiute class, and that's from 6 to 7. And Steve Weezer does a great job with our Paiute classes. He's been studying this language for over 20 years, and he does really good. He puts everybody at ease. So we just try to make sure that everybody has fun, learn some language, and then, you know, try to get them up and going and encourage them to use their language every day.
Very good. Georgine Nelson, director of the Klamath Tribes Language Department today, the guest on Klamath Tribes podcast. Thank you, Georgine.
Thank you, Ken. Look forward to visiting with you again soon.
And we will talk to you again on the Klamath Tribes podcast.